Good morning. Good morning, you rowdy lot. You rowdy lot. Okay, so you'd expect Andrew to say that on Thursday it's a prayer meeting and it's going to be an amazing time, okay? Because he's a leader and he would say that, wouldn't he? He's only going to say it's duff. So on Thursday it's the prayer meeting at Grace Church. Now, I'm not part of Grace Church, so it's great to come here occasionally. But one of the things that has happened this year is I've been to two of Grace Church's prayer meetings. He's right. They're great. Genuinely, they're really great. So if you, I know people think, well, yeah, well, I love coming on Sunday, but I don't know about this sort of prayer meeting. It might be a little bit like, genuinely. I mean, I don't know how great it's going to be this morning. It's been great so far. But I tell you what, the prayer meetings in this place, not in this place, it's at the Sixth Form Centre in Truro College, or school, whatever, is like, they're electric. So I would really encourage you, if you want an amazing evening, it's guaranteed on Thursday, get along to the prayer meeting. Well, there you are. I've got no bias. No bias whatsoever. I'm just telling you, you could be missing out, and you don't want to do that. My name's Jeremy. I've lived in Cornwall for nearly 19 years, something like that. And would you want to live anywhere else? I mean, come on. I mean, there are some nice places around, you know, but, like, in England, come on. Aren't we the lucky ones? We get to live here. It's brilliant. And the sun's not out this morning, but, you know, it will be later, I'm sure. And it's been great to see what God is going to be doing and is doing amongst us. You know, we've got four churches now, and we're going for five, aren't we? Yeah, we're going for St. Austell next. And who knows what God is going to do in the next few years? It's exciting. You know, Cornwall has changed the course of history around the world. You know, there are Christians raving about Cornwall because God did something amazing in the years past, and it still has implications across the globe. Could happen again, couldn't it? Why don't you pray that on Thursday? I mean, come on, that's a good nut. You know where you're going now, don't you? You're just going to turn up, and now you're going to pray for that, because God can do it again. In fact, you could start today something amazing and new. I want to, first of all, want to bring greetings from your baby. Anchor of Hope Church in Falmouth. Actually, it's not kind of a baby now. It's a lot more like a toddler. It's sort of kind of walking around and sort of being up to mischief and all sorts of stuff. We gather, I don't know what the numbers are, I don't know, on a Sunday. Every month, we're doing things a little bit differently in Falmouth. We gather together once a month all together at this building in the middle of town. And there's probably more, I don't know, between 30 and 45 of us. I think that's kind of about right. And then we meet in homes the rest of the time. One thing that's guaranteed about Anchor of Hope, and you might learn from this, there's food every time. We love food. We're always eating. I mean, like, oh, and the food's really good. So, like, you know, I tell you what, there's a really great bunch. I mean, I love being part. Most of them are under half my age. All the leaders are under 30. And it's amazing to be amongst young people with a real vision, not only for Falmouth and Penryn, but also for Cornwall and beyond. They've got it. They've got this kind of heart for the world, which is what you get when you hang out with Jesus. It's amazing. I'll tell you what you can do, right? You can pray for this. Okay, maybe you could do this on Thursday as well. You could pray for more families with teenagers. We've got one family with teenagers. They're great, but it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, there's thumbs up from the back there from Rachel. More families with teenagers to join us. That would be really handy. That's one thing to pray for. This September, we're going to have a bunch of students coming to Falmouth. And last year, we had an amazing lot, actually. Amazing lot. I know you did as well. You know, God could be really meeting with people over the summer who are coming to be students in Falmouth. It'd be great to have them amongst us. We can fight over them, can't we? And so can you pray for that? Also, and I know I've said this before, but we have this in this church as well as in Falmouth, we have a significant number of really, really talented, creative people. I mean, like, it's crazy. People involved in the visual arts, writers, musicians, dancers, people involved in TV, animation and film. There's a really high percentage of them. And creative people shape culture. So I actually want you to pray for culture shapers to be discipled, trained up and released into this country and beyond from our midst. So that's something you can pray for. Another thing, obvious one, for people who don't know Jesus to meet him. Pray for that. And then lastly, and this is the subject of the day, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Anchor of Hope Church in Falmouth. The Holy Spirit being poured out. You see, this, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is a priority for Jesus. In right at the beginning of the book of Acts, which is an account of the early church, in verse 4 of chapter 1, Jesus says, "And being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Now, we know, as we read on, that is the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. He says, don't go and try and do this without the Holy Spirit. You've got absolutely no chance. Wait. This is about the last thing Jesus says to his disciples after 3 years with them. This is a priority of Jesus. So when you pray for Anchor of Hope, pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it should be our priority as well. But it's not just a priority of Jesus, it's a priority of the apostles, that the church would be filled with the Holy Spirit. There would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, now the church is up and running by now, Philip, read about him, he's amazing. Philip is preaching about Jesus in Samaria. There's miracles happening in verse 6. Demons are being cast out in verse 7. And in verse 14, the news has come back to Jerusalem where the apostles are. And when the apostles heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. It is a priority of Jesus that the church is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a priority of the apostles. Right, something is happening in Samaria. Let's make sure they have received the Holy Spirit. So they send the big guys in and they lay hands on them. These guys have already received the word of God. They've already been baptized in the name of Jesus. They've been baptized in water, but they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John are dispatched. And when they lay hands on them, they receive the Holy Spirit. Perhaps there are some of you a bit like the Samaritans here. I know I was when I was a teenager. I'd been baptized, I'd received the word of God, but I hadn't received the Holy Spirit. In fact, no one even had really taught me as a new believer or as a believer about the Holy Spirit. I had no one, I didn't really know him at all. I was a Christian, but I hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Because he's a person. Do you know his power in your life on a day-by-day basis? Do you know, do you experience, do you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? If you're not sure, then we're going to give you an opportunity at the end today to receive the Holy Spirit, to have an encounter, to experience the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because you can't do this Christian life without him. But he is readily available. And you can receive the Holy Spirit this morning. So we are actually going to pray for people. We're going to lay hands, just like Peter and John did. We're going to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. Aren't we, Ben?
Yes.
Very good. Right, okay. Just checking you're listening. You know, Dave Holden, he's one of the kind of, I don't know what you call him. He's been around for a while. And in our group of churches, he says this, you know, I can't raise the dead without the Holy Spirit. I can't raise teenagers without the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sure which is easier. And he had five kids. And you, those of you know, I've had five kids. I don't need the Holy Spirit just for sort of like churchy stuff. I need the Holy Spirit for life, to be a dad, to be a neighbor, to work, to just relate to people, to be a husband and a father and all those things. Grace Church, Anchor of Hope, Blaze Church, King's Arms, Camborne, this new thing that God is going to do, St. Austell. We've been called to turn the lights back on in Cornwall. We will never do it without the Holy Spirit. We need him. We haven't been called just to take the gospel to every corner of Cornwall. We've been told to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We will never be able to do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that. And any of us who have been around for a while, we know that too. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day we celebrate 2,000 years ago, the first outpouring on the church. It's like kind of the birthday of the church, in fact. So it's like a birthday today. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on ordinary people like you and me, and the church started dramatically. And we can read about it in Acts 2. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we don't just want to celebrate what happened 2,000 years ago. Father, we want to encounter you again and afresh. We open our hearts to you wherever we're at. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way with us, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself, Holy Spirit. Empower us, Holy Spirit. For the sake of the one you love to see glorified, Jesus. Amen. We've heard this before already. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, it was about the same number of people as here, maybe a few more, not many more. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I mean, what would you feel like if that happened? Like, we're sitting here in this house and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. You imagine you've been up on a mountain, say in the Lake District or something, you know, and it's almost deafening. That's what the recording of Luke of the situation is like. He's describing it like that. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw, so they've heard something. Now they saw what seems to be tongues of fire. So we've got wind, we've now got fire, tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them, Luke records, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Don't miss what Luke the writer records here. First of all, it must have been, it was very dramatic. Actually, I don't know, I think I'd feel a bit scared. Like, oh no, oh, this is maybe exciting, but this is also very scary. The second thing, it was a corporate experience. Do you notice that it says they were all there together, but then at the same time, it was an individual experience. The Holy Spirit came and on each of them. So it wasn't just like kind of a corporate, it's an individual thing. And this isn't just the special people, the elite people, the leaders. It was just ordinary people who had an encounter with Jesus. Perhaps still trying to work out what that actually was going to mean for them for the rest of their lives. But the Holy Spirit came on ordinary people. In fact, when Peter explains in the next few verses what's happened, he quotes Joel from the Old Testament. He says, when Joel, hundreds of years before, he says, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So it's kind of all of them, intergenerational. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And then, let's just pause for a minute. We use phrases in church, and we sometimes don't think about what they are. We've become familiar. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's think about that. Who is the Holy Spirit who filled everyone in that room? God. Almighty God filled ordinary people like you and me. I mean, that's crazy. The one who holds the universe in his hands fills individuals like you and me. I mean, that's just mad, isn't it? People like you and me and those people in those days were filled with the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit. That's crazy, but amazing. It's like just, whoa. That means that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you go in through those doors into work tomorrow, in a very real way, God goes through those doors when you go to work. That's crazy. But that's in the Bible. I mean, whoa, when you walk into that lecture theatre, I know you've finished. You don't go to lecture theatres for years, months and months. I know you students are still around. But you know, when you go into your lecture theatre or your studio, when you walk into the cafe you're going to meet up your mates tomorrow, when you go to school, when you walk down your street, God is in you and God is working with you. Isn't that amazing? When you go to Tesco's, God goes to Tesco's. I mean, is this just not crazy? But this is in the Bible. The Bible is brilliant. But it's not just like some fairy tale. It's real. And this is what happens. It's amazing. You see, Jesus talked about this effervescent life ordinary believers would have within them. And he said that it's just like you cannot contain this effervescent life. It's going to have to just spill out all over the place to others right across the world. This is God's plan, to use ordinary people to reveal himself by pouring out himself upon ordinary people like you who go to Tesco's. Jesus said this, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, with whom those who believed in him were yet to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Which, oh, good. Well, so someone's doing the job. I'll not be moving my slide. Okay, so, I mean, are you with me so far? This is rivers of living water. I mean, what could God do in Truro this week? I mean, you go, oh, I'm not very good. Oh, I can't do much. What could he do in Falmer? Go to Tesco's and find out. Walk into your work, the cafe, to school. Take God with you and see what he does. Not because you're great, because he's great. And he's chosen, crazy as it might seem, don't be offended by that, but he's chosen to use ordinary people like you and me. I mean, it's amazing. What a mad and crazy and wonderful plan that all over the world, and it is happening because the church is growing like crazy all over the world, ordinary people are taking Jesus into dark corners and into Tesco's and into shops and into businesses and into schools. God turns up in some pretty strange places all over the world through people like you and me. I mean, it's amazing. Simon Holley, in his book Sustainable Power, refers to massive rocks or boulders that can obstruct the river. We talked about, Jesus talked about a river, but sometimes the river doesn't seem to be flowing much out of me or you, perhaps. Have you experienced that? So sometimes there's a kind of a boulder in the way, or boulders in the way. And I mean, it's not biblical imagery. The river's bit is, the boulders isn't. But, you know, this morning I'm going to list some boulders that might potentially be obstructing the river flowing in your life. Now, I have to say that as I run through this list, all of them in the past, or even in the present, I still have a little bit in my own life. I still struggle with some of these boulders in myself. So as I rattle through this list, you might go, oh, yeah, that's definitely me. Or, well, maybe not so much that one, but that one maybe in the past. Or maybe this one. Yeah, no, that's a different. Now, as I go through this list, maybe what you can do is you can go, yep, that one, that one. I'm not going to take a lot of time on them, but at the end, you know, let's get rid of the boulders. Let's get rid of the boulders. Because we want a river flowing into Truro and Falmouth and beyond. This week, let's do it. And then at the end, having removed the boulders, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, you, as I said at the beginning, some of you may never have received the Holy Spirit, but even if you have, it says go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you up for that? Yes. Yeah, perhaps. Maybe one or two. Yeah, great, that's good. Well, the one or two of us can, that's cool. The first boulder. Okay, the first boulder. The boulder of worldview. What does that mean? Well, you know what? In the 17th and 18th century, things began to change in Europe, and people seemed to start to question the supernatural. Really, miracles? Really, healings? We live in a rational world. And you know, this, it might have been 3 centuries ago, but it still affects today. You know, the Enlightenment, so-called, can affect us. It can be a boulder in our lives. You know, a lot of people that you meet, maybe you even, poo-poo the supernatural. Trouble is, if you read the Old Testament in the Bible, or you read the New Testament in the Bible, there's loads of the supernatural. In fact, there's miracles everywhere. In the Old Testament, there's parting of the Red Sea. There's fire from heaven. There's some bloke get fed by ravens. There's healings. There's demons. There's angels. Jesus was raised from the dead. What supernatural thing do you want? It's all over the place in the Bible. If you take the supernatural out of the Bible, there's not much left. And yet, churches can sometimes go, well, we don't really like that sort of thing. We just like, you know, we like to be rational and just appeal to the mind. Well, you have to do biblical gymnastics to do that, and you will never do it well. You know, our faith is dependent on Jesus being raised from the dead, a dead man, physically dead, being raised from the dead 3 days later. If that didn't happen, we're stuffed. We have to have the hope of the supernatural, aren't we? Like, frankly, it's got to be right. And it is right, of course. You take the supernatural out of our faith, we've got nothing left. But it's a boulder. The influence of, like, well, we don't believe in all that kind of stuff. It's actually not a big problem in a lot of part of the world, but it's perhaps a big, more bigger problem in the West. Maybe it's a problem for you. Maybe that's a boulder that needs removing. You know, and there's another little boulder as well on the subject of worldviews, as we are. You know, you've got the kind of material world. Material world. You, bodies and things like that. Ground and stuff that you can hit against and walk into and stuff like that. And then you've got the spiritual realm, the spiritual world. Now, in Greek worldview, they kind of divided the material world and the spiritual world. And actually, in Greek worldview, and we're not talking about Greek now. Well, maybe we are a bit, but like we're talking about the time of Jesus and after and before. While I think about it and do my history, you know, matter, this stuff, was considered evil and the spirit was considered good. So there was this kind of like division of the matter from the spiritual. And they were kind of at war with them, that with each other. That was the kind of worldview. And they were kept divided. So when John writes, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The material and the spiritual met. That's referring to Jesus. John chapter 1. God is spirit and he became flesh, material. The two. And of course, this is written to Greek people. Greek people who are in Greek, and they would have understand the culture of the day where you kept them divided. In the first few verses of John, the spirit and the material come together. There is a perfect unity between matter and spirit. That's the incarnation. It's amazing. Maybe we didn't notice that, but into the culture that John was writing to, they would have thought, whoa, hang on. They don't come together, do they? But they do in John's gospel. They do in Jesus perfectly. The word of God entered into our world in the birth of a child. Matter, stuff, starts to communicate God because matter is God. This is crazy. You know, God becomes a carpenter in Nazareth. This is amazing, isn't it? God's not up there, distant. He's material on earth. Amazing. It's kind of naturally supernatural or supernaturally natural. You see, some people in the New Testament understood this. You know that woman in Luke 8? She said, I only have to touch his clothes, his cloak, and I'll get healed. Like, she knew there was something of God in the matter of this man. Even on his cloak, I just have to touch Jesus' cloak and I'll get healed. She touches his cloak and she is healed. It's amazing. Matter matters. Stuff, you, your body matters. We're not just spiritual beings, though we are. We're also matter and your body matters. So what you do with your material body matters. And it affects us spiritually. Stop laughing. It affects us. You know what you do with your, because the two are united, what you do with your matter, your body, affects you. Look, please pull it. Get yourself together, Peter. Paul, for goodness sake. What you do with your material body. matters. It affects us spiritually. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to just ignore him now because he's putting me off. He says, look, hang on. This is serious, actually. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were brought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. That means, you know, my body matters. It's not, we're not just sort of kind of spiritual. You know, one day when we're going to get a new body and it's going to be perfect and it's going to be, we're not going to be spirits floating around. We're going to have a body because actually the material and the spiritual are united and God is redeeming our bodies. Now, that's why I could actually, with the power of God that rests within me, I could put my hand on a sick person and they could get healed because I placed my hand on a sick person and they get healed. Because there's a power within and it's transferred through the body. Not just, now Jesus did that, but his disciples did that. He does that today. There's something material about our faith. I mean, to be honest, I have to be saying, I'm still learning on this, but it's really important. You might think, well, what does it? Is this a boulder in my life? Well, maybe it is. Do you know what? Like, we heard someone speaking in tongues. And you know, I mean, it's great. Ben gave the interpretation, and I was thinking, that was so bang on. Because I was thinking the same. Well, you. Yeah. You know what? I mean, like, that's God, isn't it? And you know what? It's not just a spiritual thing, though it is a spiritual thing. But Hannah uses her material vocal cords, and the Spirit uses her vocal cords. They're like material. You could open her up and find these things inside her, you know, like doctors, you do all this stuff. I don't know what it looks like. And you, God takes the material and does something amazing and blesses the people. And then someone hears through his material ears and feels in his spirit a sense of what God is saying to people, material people like you, through the Spirit. This, it's been happening here this morning. The material and the spiritual are together. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, some of you might struggle with this because you think, oh, I could never speak in tongues. You know, if you're going to speak in tongues, and let me say this, you know, I speak in tongues, and it's not a sign of being great. Do you know what I mean? But I tell you what, it's really, really helpful. Paul, when he spoke to the church in Corinth, who got things a little bit out of balance, to be honest, but he said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. And it builds me up. And actually, when it's interpreted, it builds other people up. We've seen that this morning, isn't it? It's a great gift. Amazing. I mean, you know, I need all the building up I can help. I tell you what, speaking in tongues, it's kind of supernatural, but it's natural. It's naturally supernatural. It's amazing. Paul himself says in chapter 14 of Corinthians, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. If we're going to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to operate in the material using this stuff. Vocal cords, hands, our body, whatever. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. Let's look after our temple. Because it's kind of, that's what Paul is saying when he writes to the Corinthians. He says, you know, don't get involved in sexual immorality because, like, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's like, I'm not just wanting to keep myself pure because it's naughty. I keep myself pure because it's just so crazy. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, like, you just don't mix that kind of stuff with that him. Just on the gift of tongues, just, you know, I ask people, I have to be careful because I know some people kind of get a bit sort of uncomfortable, but I say, do you speak in tongues more? I ask that question more and more. You know what I've heard quite a lot this year, last few months? People go, well, yeah, I do, but I can speak in tongues, but I don't do it very much. I mean, that could be true of all of us. Do you know what I mean? I tell you what, if you speak in tongues, I tell you, just let's do it more, shall we? I mean, like, how many times do you get to a place where you don't know what to pray so then you can pray in tongues? I go and pray in my new greenhouse. That's my place. And I sit in my greenhouse every morning, pretty much every morning, and I pray in tongues. Do you know what I mean? We're right next to a campsite. They probably think I'm nuts. I actually keep it fairly quiet. But, you know, it's so helpful. How many times I run out of things to pray? Don't say, that's not for me. Paul would say, I wish you all spoke in tongues. I'd encourage you, if you haven't received that gift, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophesy, but definitely include tongues in it as well. Yeah, prophecy is more useful, although when it's interpreted, it's as useful as prophecy, I would argue, from Paul. So there's the worldview. Okay, we wrestle on. The boulder of thinking we earn. I'm going to go through quick now. You're never going to receive the Holy Spirit because you've earned the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Perhaps you think, well, I'm not good enough to host the Holy Spirit within me. You're cleansed by Jesus' blood. You're perfectly pure in his sight. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to remove us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is amazing. Our bodies. You're not going to earn anything from God, but you receive. In both Luke 11 and Acts 10, look it up, the Holy Spirit is described as a gift. What about, and this was a big problem for me in the past, I had never had any teaching, and what teaching I'd had on the Holy Spirit, a lot of it was not really very helpful. In fact, I'd had some wrong teaching that was saying that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, healings, miracles, tongues, prophecy, are not for today. I'm sorry, but that just doesn't stand up in Scripture. And if you want to know, go and speak to Andrew about it or something, because I'm not going to give you an argument now. Then this was more, I had wrong teaching, but actually I'd had no teaching. No experience of, I'd never heard anyone speak in tongues, and I've been going to church since I was, you know, for 15 years. No one told me about these sorts of things. No, I never heard a prophecy, or at least I hadn't when I'd been listening, which was probably rare. No one had ever said to me, you know, a word of knowledge or a prophetic word until I was 18. Then there's the boulder of bad experience. Maybe some of you have had a bad experience. You've been in a situation in church or whatever where it's not been well handled. The gifts of the Spirit, for example, or there's been some sort of weird stuff, and it was like not kind of good weird stuff, but like bad weird stuff. You know what I mean? You know, some like, oh dear, I don't feel comfortable with this. Do you know what I mean? And you know that's not just because you're a little bit nervous or anything. You realise that this is just doesn't seem right. Something doesn't... That can make many people, I meet many people, Christians, who've been Christians for years, go, I'm backing off from all that kind of stuff. You know, I'll just stick to the safe stuff. Do you know what I mean? Well, if there was if you could time machine yourself back to the first century and go into the church of Corinth, you would see a lot of bad stuff going on. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth to put the bad stuff right. He doesn't say, no, right, forget all of that kind of stuff. Let's get on with the basics. We'll come back to that maybe in the future. No, he says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. He would say, I want to encourage you in the gifts, but I want you to use them well. So rather than put them off, he actually encourages them even more, but he wants them to bring order in all of those sorts of areas. So if you've had bad experience, don't let that put you off, because that's not a biblical standing point. Does that make sense? Boulder of pride, you know, to do these stuff. Sometimes, I mean, I don't know what Hannah felt. You know, what happens, if no one gives a interpretation? What happens if I stumble on my words? That amazing, Star's amazing prophetic word of the flower. You know what I mean? Like, she comes up here and I think, you know. Pride can, and fear of looking stupid or anything can hold us back, can't they? Do you know that? Anyone like that? Limited, similar to that is the boulder of self-reliance. You see, self-reliance isn't really a clever option for a Christian. Genuinely, you know, self-reliance pushes us into our limited resources. God-reliance pushes us into God's unlimited supply. So if you're someone who likes to hold it all together and be self-reliant and keep it together, you're going to have to let go of some stuff, because God calls you to a life of faith dependent on his resources. You just can't live this life without the resources of God. But good news, the Holy Spirit, the resources of God are available. This is the last one, I think. The boulder of fear. I've already said much about this, but Jesus, the one we follow, calls us to take steps of faith in following him. And fear can be a major boulder in our lives. And it can not only affect us individually, it can affect churches as well. Churches can be fearful in stepping into the purposes of God. So it's an individual and a corporate thing sometimes. Even leaders, like Paul is writing to this guy called Timothy, who's a leader in the church in Ephesus. And he says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You know, it says the laying on of his hands, again, touching. Paul touches Timothy and an impartation of a gift is given to Timothy. We don't know what that is. We can speculate. But something was imparted when a material hand of an apostle, Paul, was placed on a man called Timothy. Crazy. It's the material thing again, and the spiritual working together. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given... Oh, I've just repeated that, haven't I? So I've read it again. I tell you what, fear can grip you in all sorts of ways. You know, in worship, do you ever... I don't know. You know, in worship, suddenly you're just thinking, man, Jesus, you're great. And you're singing the words because they're up on the screen. You know, but like... Oh, no, I better not put my hands up because that'll look a bit like... Oof, worry what people will think. I'm a bit... excessive. You know, the first time I put my hands up in church back in the 80s or something, it was like maybe I did a bit of this sort of stuff, like fear can grip, fear of like silly fears, but even big fears, like coming up to someone and or praying out in tongues for the first time in a Sunday morning. That can be really scary. Or giving an interpretation or a prophetic word like Style did earlier. Praying for the sick, saying, actually, you encounter someone and you think, well, no, the word of God, the thing I stand my feet on, says that I can heal the sick. So I'm going to step out and I'm going to touch someone and believe God for healing. That requires faith. We can be scared to do that. Or maybe just sharing our faith with someone who doesn't know Jesus. That can fear. Anyone suffer from that? Oh, it's just me then. Okay. To give a prophetic word. You see, another thing we can be really fearful of our emotions. You know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes and touches a material person like Jeremy Bunce, I mean, we're all a bit wired differently. Do you know what I mean? But sometimes it affects me emotionally, and I want to hold it together, so I don't want to be a blubbing wreck here right now, so, you know, I best sort of, like, stand back and be a little bit whole, you know. Fear can hold me just running into the purposes and arms of God. I want to encourage you to not let fear control your life, because your Father in heaven loves you. What if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? What's going to happen? You know, it could get really messy. No, God loves you. Isn't it crazy? He wants to be and live within you and use you and be like a river to people in Tesco's. The last one, actually, there is one more, which is really related. Low self-worth. I can't be filled with God because I'm a real lousy, useless waste of space. You know, you're the chosen one of God. You know what? Your worth is based on the price on your head. And the price on your head is Jesus gave his life for you. You are of incredible worth. You know, some of us live like paupers. You know, we're not supposed to be cocky. But we are loved by God. If God is for us, as we sang, who can be against us? The one whose opinion matters above all. Doesn't matter if everybody else thinks I'm a complete loser. God thinks I'm wonderful and loves me. And his opinion, it just means completely cancels out everything else. I am of worth, not because of who or what I've done, but because God has chosen me. God loves me. God even sent his son to die for me. And amazingly, he even now wants to live within me. That's a crazy and amazing and glorious thing. People like you and me matter to the heart of God. Don't you think? Yes, exactly. Don't you think there's people in Truro who really, really need to hear this? Their lives, is, you know, they take wrong actions. They do stuff to themselves. And we could point the finger at them, but you know what? With a low self-worth they've got, no wonder they do that. Let our hearts go out to sinners like Jesus's did. That's the gospel. It's amazing. Let the river of God reach out through you. Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? As I've rattled through this list of boulders, worldview, think you've got the list up here. As I've just been going through it, has any of them really stuck you and thought, you know, that's me? I'm just going to give a bit of time to contemplate, just a minute or so. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and they're just going to be quiet for a little bit, and then it's going to play quietly. And I want you to encourage you to just have a little bit of introspection in a right way. Maybe you just know that fear or low self-worth or pride or, you know, thinking you've got to earn it but you don't. Even some of the worldview stuff has been an issue in your life. You know what repentance is? It's not just a change of behaviour. It's turning round, but it's also a change of thinking. Say, I was wrong. I shouldn't be thinking like that. I'm going to do it like this from now on. So some of us might need to change your mind. So as I give this time now of reflection, why don't you do business with God? And for some of you, what might help is for you to just bow your head. Some of you might even want to bow your knees and get down on your knees. And just bring any boulders that have come up this morning and say, God, will you take that boulder away?